Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this episode and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And you can also find this radio station on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. You can listen to us everywhere you go on that app. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
War Eagle, and welcome to March Madness.
Oh, man. I can't wait. Like, we've got a TV on in here even. I so rarely see that, but we do have one on in here. It's going to be getting underway right after we get off air with Creighton and Louisville at 11:15, so we've got a lot to talk about, and very quickly. We typically start with just some updates as far as some of the other sports going on, most notably baseball and softball. But we've got several trending stories inside Auburn Athletics, so why don't you get us started, my friend?
All right. Well, let's get started real quick with baseball. They're still having a great season, off to a really, really decent start. They're 17-4 overall. Excuse me, 2-1 in the conference. They're on a two-game win streak, and it's pitching.
Yep.
And that was the unanswered question before this season started, and that was one of the things I paid real close attention to when they came here and did the exhibition games against Florida State, was I wanted to see how these young pitchers looked, and they're stepping up. Of course, the bats are hot, too. Auburn's got a pretty decent offensive effort from the bats, so – That's a good problem to have. Good pitching and good bats.
Yeah, the best problem is no problem at all.
Yeah, but they're off to a good start. So as soon as we're done with all this March Madness craziness, we can, as fans, can jump head first into the baseball and softball season. And they're off to a good start. So I expect nothing but the same for the rest of the season. Of course, it's like basketball at the end of the year. You know, you have an SEC tournament, and then they start the selection process for the College World Series. Mm. But the way they're playing, I fully expect them to at least get the invite into the College World Series. How deep they'll go, it's way too early to tell. So many things can happen between now and then, injury-wise, or maybe pick up another player out of a portal or something. Softball. They're off to a booming start as well. They were off to a really good start to begin with, but they've lost 8 of their last, I think, 12 games. Mm. So they're 21-8, 0-6 in the conference. That's
wow.
Yeah, but the SEC's stacked.
It's tough
with women's softball. Georgia's playing good, LSU's playing good, Alabama's playing good. Ole Miss has a good team.
Oklahoma, of course.
Now that we have Oklahoma and Texas, now you've got these extra. And Oklahoma was almost always in the Women's College World Series.
Unreal.
Them and Arizona were like they were always there. So you know it's a tough schedule. They're on a one game winning streak. So they managed to put a stop to the losses. At home we're 12-3. We're doing real good. It's the away games. We're 0-4.
Yeah.
We're 9-1 on neutral sites. So, you know, the women's softball team, they're looking good. I still think they're perfectly capable of playing their way into the Women's College World Series.
Yeah, you got time to right the wrongs.
Yeah. They're a young club. I think two of their pitchers are freshmen. I tend to pay attention to all Auburn athletics all the time, but right now, obviously, most of our attention is devoted to the men's basketball, so I'm not as focused on these two programs as I would normally be.
Right.
But as soon as March Madness is over, I'm going to immerse myself in the baseball and softball scene. Now, the men's golf team, defending national champs, they're off to a really great start, and I'm trying to pull up where I thought I had it bookmarked here. But I can't seem to find it. They're defending their national championship quite well. Mm. Here it is. It's number one Auburn men's golf crushes the field to win the General Hackler Championship. So
wow. Okay.
So this last tournament series that they played in, they decimated the competition. Mm. So they're defending their title well. The guy who won the individual title for the team last year was a senior, so he's gone. So these are the same kids that played last year minus their leader. So somebody's obviously stepped up into that leadership position and taken over.
Picking up where they left off.
Yeah, we have a good program. It was a lot to look forward to, a lot of good things to look forward to, especially in this tournament, which is, short term, next 4 weeks. And then the rest of the baseball, softball season. And, of course, golf is going to go on all the way into the fall.
Right.
So a lot of good things to follow. I'm hearing a lot of good things also from some of the chat rooms about the excitement around spring practice. And obviously the spring A-Day game will be coming up here in about 2 months. About 2 months. The way the SEC has things set up, the coaches can't have organized practices yet. That starts here pretty soon. But that doesn't keep the kids from getting into the game plan and getting into the books, learning the plays, learning the schemes,
right,
and getting out there and practicing on their own, working out together as groups, getting out there practicing the things that they need to practice so that they are prepared when spring ball starts. And the chatter that I'm hearing out of that is that these kids that Auburn picked up out of the portal that are already on campus, that they are showing why they were recruited.
Fitting right in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what a great football name, Horatio, the kid that guys, Wake Forest, gave us.
Yeah, Horatio Fields.
Yeah, and then Singleton out of Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And we have returning Cam Coleman, who's going to be he's either a true sophomore or a redshirt sophomore.
Total stud.
The word from their individual practices as a unit is that these guys are playing well. They're practicing well together. They seem to understand what everybody's role on the team is going to be. Mm-hmm. And they're showing off the skill set. They're saying that Singleton is pretty much going to just be like a carbon copy of KLS from last year. Big, big, tall, physical receiver with great hands and great ball skills. But that's what he was recruited for.
Yeah.
The offensive line, they're practicing together. The two big tackles have reported in, and they're doing a lot of one-on-one drills, line of scrimmage, dominating line of scrimmage type one-on-one drills. A lot of the scuttlebutt I'm hearing about that is that these guys they're going to be probably average 10 to 15 pounds more per guy on the line than last year. And they're faster and they're more athletic.
So they're beefing up, and they're
well, they're going to have to, because you recruited Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
And the reason you recruited him was because he's a true dual threat quarterback. Well, it makes sense to get a little bit heftier, more athletic offensive line so you can do the RPOs and be a lot more successful.
Keep up with him, yeah.
The kid we got from Stanford,
Ashton Daniels.
Yeah. They say that him and Jackson Arnold are practicing well together. They're feeding off of each other.
That's good.
They both look at themselves, according to the scuttlebutt. And I tend to believe the source that I get this information from is that they both understand that regardless of which one gets the starting job, they can both be leaders.
Yeah.
They can show the same leadership whether I start or you start. And that's a good thing. That means that their personalities are matching, their skill sets are pretty close, they understand their role on the program, and they understand that they were brought here because they have playing time under their belt, and they're going to have to take the leadership role, because that's what the whole job of being a quarterback in an NCAA Division I program is.
And selflessness like that is a big need when it comes to team management. Yeah, team building.
Now, what I'm interested in seeing is once practice gets started and they start running some scrimmage plays, I want to see the ball in the air, and I want to see these skilled receivers making some plays. Because that was pretty impressive last year in the spring game, in spring practice, when we first got our first look at KLS and our first good look at Cam Coleman. Mm-hmm. And both of them had, standout practices in the spring. And it showed in the season. We just didn't step up to the plate with the offensive line and the quarterback play, and too many mistakes. I mean, we've beat that horse 100 times over already.
Yeah.
But it wasn't our receiving core that was a problem last year. They KLS did a great job. Cam Coleman was an awesome freshman receiver.
Especially late in the year.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He made some big-time plays.
Well, that's just it. He grew, you know. You're talking about a 17, 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, he comes up there. He probably grew at least an inch and a half in height. He added probably 10 to 15 pounds, almost all of it, muscle and conditioning. And he got more comfortable with the scheme and what he was expected to do and running routes and being in timing. And that's what you wanted to see out of somebody like him, was him get bigger and better as the season went on. And now they're saying it, what they're watching in these workouts with the receiver corps practicing together is he is taking it to another level this year is what they're, you know, I mean, we got to wait and see what that actually looks like. But what I'm hearing out of the groups is that he's really stepping over that line to the next level, which is where he needed to be. He needs to have that kind of competition against Singleton and Horatio.
Right.
Because all that's going to do is make him better.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing good things out of the program, the football program. I'm looking forward to the football year. Obviously, when March Madness is over, this program's going to go away for a little while, and then we'll come back next year for the football season. I hope to have super high expectations and no disappointments. So.
Right.
But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much a wrap-up on everything that's not quite basketball-related.
Yeah, and perfect timing, too, because it's already just about 10:15. But, no, I do agree with you there as far as the new depth that the Auburn offense has, the experience that it now has under its belt with guys coming from different schools. I'm especially hoping at the quarterback position we don't see a lot of the carelessness or a lot of the careless mistakes, rather, that we saw early in the year. Because, I mean, yeah, as you said, we talked about that a ton back during the fall as far as the wins that directly caused Auburn to miss out on. So, yeah, it should be nowhere but up from here for the Auburn Tigers football program.
Well, I mean, and you can't judge the future of Jackson Arnold at Auburn based on the last season he had at Oklahoma.
That's very true.
Because the last season
Oklahoma was dealt a bad hand.
The last season he had at Oklahoma, they were decimated by injuries in the receiving corps.
Yeah.
Their running game was sketch at best.
That's why he had to run a lot.
Which put a lot of pressure on the quarterbacks, and that's why he ended up getting benched a time or two. It's because, you know, they were trying to find – they were essentially throwing the kitchen sink out there to see what if they could get any production on the field. And that's not a knock on Jackson Arnold. It's just the pieces around him came apart.
The system wasn't ideal.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not gonna place any judgment on him or modify my expectations because of the season he had at Oklahoma.
Absolutely. 10:15 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, as Bill just mentioned a moment ago, we'll actually be taking a bit of a look at the men's basketball scene here. We'll give a quick recap of how Auburn did in the SEC tournament. And then, of course, we're going to spend a good portion of today's episode looking ahead to what is to come in the March Madness bracket, not just for Auburn, but for all the teams playing today and tomorrow. All that and more coming up in just a few minutes. This episode of War Eagle Weekly and the series brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse and my very own co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forrest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Get your tickets to Pass a Good Time, New Orleans style, at the Sasebon WSRE Wine and Food Classic on Saturday, March 29th. This year's event will let the good times roll with celebrity chef John Besh and the Big Easy sounds of Corey LaDay Zydeco on the WSRE Amos Studio stage. Enjoy Creole-inspired cuisine at the Walkabout Tasting and cast a vote for your favorite local chef. Go to WSRE.org/events for tickets and event details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, millions of men experience ED, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. At Hims, our own board-certified urologist, Dr. Peter Stahl, knows this better than anyone, and he knows that Hims can help.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, Senior Vice President of Men's Sexual Health at Hims. I've helped many guys with ED, and it has never been more convenient to treat than it is right now, thanks to Hims.
Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs. Options at up to 95% less than the brand names when you get started at Hims.com/joy. To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% less than brand name prices, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit.
Win $100,000 just for having the perfect bracket. Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, and register for the ESPN Pensacola Bracket Challenge. But you only have until 11 a.m. Thursday to get your bracket submitted.
$100,000.
And even if your bracket is not exactly perfect, you can still win dinner for two at Jackson Steakhouse. Get your bracket submitted to ESPNPensacola.com to register for the ESPN Pensacola Bracket Challenge, presented by Batteries Plus.
Clinton Yates and a rotating group of guests give unique insights and perspectives on sports. It's Clinton and Friends, 10 until Rich Eisen on ESPN Pensacola.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This show is brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. You can find them right across the street from Five Flags Speedway on Pine Forest Road, and brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And Bill, when we left off, we said we were going to tackle this SEC tournament performance that almost was, that should have been, but was not.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. It was a good game. It was an entertaining game to watch. Auburn jumped out to a 12-point lead there at one point. And, I mean, I can remember sitting there watching it with some other folks, including a couple that were Tennessee fans, and all I was screaming was, widen the gap, widen the gap. Because I was like, that may not be enough, you know, not with this Tennessee team. You got to get 20 points ahead to get comfortable.
Right.
And Tennessee played one of their better games. And the tail is in the statistics. The big statistic that stands out the most in this game is free throw percentage.
Yeah.
Tennessee was 92.6% from the free throw line. I think they missed one.
I think it was 25 for 27. Okay. But I'm going off memory here.
Yep. Auburn from the free throw line, 59.1. And Janai Broome went to the line, I know of, five times? And I think he only made one or two free throws out of those trips to the line.
Yeah, against the Vols, he went 5 for 12. As a team, Auburn went 13 for 22. Inexcusable.
That and defensive rebounds. Tennessee had 25 to Auburn's 18. And we've been harping on that the last, six or eight games that Auburn's played, is the reboundings got to get better. Auburn's still playing great defense. It's just they're not getting the rebounds. They're not getting the second chance points. And you gotta make points from the free throw line. We lost by 5. We gave up, 20 points at the free throw line?
I hate to be the
close
guy.
Close to that?
I mean, I do. I hate to be the guy that says I told you so, but it was early in the season, Bill, that, as you said, you and I were talking about it, where it's like, okay, listen, when you're beating Missouri by 18, no one's going to notice the poor free throw shooting. It's when you're in bigger games against scrappier opponents, which we knew Tennessee could be from the first time you faced them, that's where free throws are going to matter.
Well, it mattered in that last game of the regular season against Alabama. Mm-hmm. Alabama outshot us at the line.
Yeah.
Tennessee outshot us at the line. That's when... You know, like you said, that's when you gotta step up.
Right.
The proof is in the pudding, and those stats don't lie. Those are the stats that get right down in the nitty gritty about exactly what makes you win a game or lose a game. Mm-hmm. Janai Broome had a great game. He had 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 assist. But he was poor. You know, was poor shooting from the line from everybody. Chad Baker-Mazzara, I think, is the only player on our team that's above 90% from the line. You can't put it all on him, though, to go to the line, because, I mean, they're not going to foul him, because they know if they foul him that, you know, he's our best shooter from the line. They're going to go after these kids that are not stepping up right away at the line.
Yeah, CBM is like y'all's best free throw shooter. Someone who I like to give credit to, and particularly in this game, was Denver Jones. He shot 7 for 8 from the line. The only problem is he's terrible from the field, so it kind of cancels out.
Yeah, he didn't get that many rebounds. He only had 3 assists. He was on the floor quite a while. He's on the floor for 29 minutes. Mm-hmm. Miles Kelly did pretty well.
Yeah, he and Jones combined for 23 points, I think. So
yeah,
they did their parts.
Denver Jones had 10. Miles Kelly had 13. But the two of them combined equaled the point production of Janai Broome.
Exactly.
You know, Janai Broome, if he'd have been under the basket a little bit more and gotten a couple more rebounds, he'd have had another double-double. And that could have made a difference in the game. I mean, we're only talking a 5-point difference, and it was closer than that with less than a minute to go.
And that's what makes the free throw shooting hurt. That's why
exactly.
That's why when you look at Janai Broome doing so well, scoring as many as 2 players combined and almost having another double-double and blah, 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 to stand out, to be such a big star on such a big team, it's a shame that he can be at times such a big detriment. That is what is so upsetting to me. And it does. It scares me. And we'll talk more about this later. But, Bill, it scares me when it comes to Auburn and their hunt in this March Madness big dance, as they call it.
Well, I mean, you know, we're talking about one of the best coaches in the league, Bruce Pearl, and his staff. You know, they see this. They understand what all these stats mean. They understand what it's going to take to right the ship. We're still playing great physical basketball, especially defensively.
Right. It's not like you're getting blown out or anything.
No. It's we just got to clean up the mistakes. We had a few turnovers that were sloppy passes.
Yeah.
But we've had that. I saw that in the Texas A&M game. I saw it in the Alabama game. I saw it again in this game. Just sloppy, weak passes near midcourt. I mean, you know, if you're giving it up while you're trying to make a run to the basket, that's another thing. But when you're just passing it around, trying to find an open position on the perimeter, and you make a sloppy pass and it gets turned over, that's sloppy.
Right.
So that's – you got to fix that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing as far as correcting these problems. If they can correct those problems, they don't have to correct them 100% in this first game that's coming up in the bracket, but they do need to make a correction. But they're definitely going to need a lot of improvement in those particular parts of your performance going into this bracket a little bit deeper, because the competition is – this is probably one of the most competitive total brackets I think I have ever seen.
I think you're right, because I do. I'll just tell you this. When I was filling out my bracket, because you and I both have, when I was filling out my bracket – I had upsets, sure, but I was looking around and I'm like, you know what? I'm not seeing as many likely Cinderella stories in this. I had a couple teams making it deeper than you would maybe expect, but it was nothing that was too wowing, because it does. It's a deep bracket.
Yeah, it's not a big wow now for Yale to be in it, you know? And when Texas and
look out, A&M.
When Texas and Creighton have to play their way into the tournament.
Yeah.
That tells you what kind of competition is already in the tournament.
Right, yeah.
That's not your typical play-in game. Those are people that you would expect to be, you know, 6, 7, 8 seeds, 9 seeds at worst.
Yeah, Xavier playing Texas, that was big. They had kind of fallen for a few years there, but they are a respectable program. I think you mentioned Creighton just a moment ago. Yeah, they're a 9 seed. Gonzaga's an 8. Kansas is a 7. You typically see those guys higher up on the polls.
They're usually a 1, 2, or 3 seed in just about every previous bracket for the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah, it's a tough gig. I do want to touch on this because this was something that on social media at least was a controversial topic. But before we do, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, you had mentioned this before we went live today, and I want you to share it with the class here. So Auburn, in spite of losing 3 of their last 4 games, in spite of not looking impressive in the SEC title game, they were the top overall seed. Now, you had people saying, time out. What about guys like Duke and Florida who won their conferences? Florida won the same conference. They both beat Auburn head-to-head. Duke's number 1 in the AP poll. Why are they not the top overall seed? And you actually had a theory as to why Auburn may have gotten the nod anyway. What do you think that is?
Oh, I think it's the people that create the seeding for these brackets, they've pretty much had their mind made up before the conference tournament started.
Right.
And the only thing that was going to, in my view, change their mind, nobody was going to play their way out of conversation, out of where they're going to be seated based on a conference tournament performance. But they could play their way in, i.e. the Texas.
Right.
You know, Texas, I think, played their way in by how deep they went in the how well they played in the SEC tournament. So I think their mind was already made up. They pretty much had their 1, 2, and 3 seeds in each bracket, you know, already decided before their conference tournaments even started. And, you know, outside of something completely unusual, like a catastrophic injury to your star player, you know, Jani Broome breaks his leg or who's the kid for Duke?
Cooper Flagg,
you know, breaks his arm or, you know, gets a severe head injury or something, you know. That is the kind of thing that could change their mind from before the conference tournament to after. But I'm pretty sure that they all pretty much had their mind made up before the conference tournaments even started.
I think you're right.
And they were like, okay, we're going to pretty much stick with this and see who steps up during their conference tournaments and makes a bid to get into the back end of the bracket.
And, you know, I talked that up as if it was like some, you know, hot take. But honestly, I think it's the only explanation for it. I know Auburn, of course, gets a lot of love for the quality of wins that they have because, you know, they beat Houston. They beat Iowa State. Well, Houston's a 1 seed. Iowa State's a 3. I mean, these guys are high-end teams in this deep bracket we're talking about.
We beat Purdue.
Yeah, them as well. They're a 4.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the body of work for the whole season that put them where they are in the bracket before the conference tournament started.
Not to mention guys like 8-seeded Mississippi State, 6-seeded Missouri. Kentucky, what are they? Are they a 7?
Kentucky's a 3-seed.
Kentucky's a 3. Oh, yeah, duh, they're playing Troy. Where did I get 7 from?
Yeah,
they're 3 playing 14-seeded Troy. But yeah, those guys, not only did you beat them convincingly. So, yeah, I mean, Auburn did have a very deep resume coming into it. So I think you're absolutely right when it comes to, okay, their mind was probably already made up. Unless there was something detrimental, they weren't going to lose their minds. And, you know, that's going to especially be the case with the SEC tournament, considering how deep it is. That's all we heard about all season long was how the conference is unbelievable, 14 teams in the bracket, this, that, and the other. Just past 10:30 here, speaking of the bracket, when we come back from break, we are going to look into the games that we've got today, and there's one in particular that stands out to me. It's actually the first game of the day, Creighton and Louisville. We'll get details on why that game is so significant. But once again, that's coming up in just a few minutes. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. Brought to you by Coachin' Four Steakhouse. Saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
It's the Hard Rock Bet Battle of the Bets. Two bets facing off. Winning side splits $250K in bonus bets every single day. Time to pick a side. Team underdogs or team favorites? Team over or team under? There's one way to settle this. Hard Rock Bet Battle of the Bets. Pick a side for a dollar. Win your share of $250K or more today. High school will be paid out in bonus bets, not a cash offer. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMITTED.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin 4 Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Your favorite sports with a local flair on the glass half full with Jordan Glass.
No, I don't consider Travis Hunter solely defense. He's going to play both ways. He may not play every snap offensively, but if you think a team is not going to draft an athlete with the talent like a Travis Hunter, even if it's just in the red zone, you're going to put the ball in his hand any way you can.
Tune into the glass half full weekday mornings from 9 till 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You could win $100,000 by joining our ESPN Pensacola 1330 Perfect Bracket Challenge, presented by Batteries Plus. Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about how we were going to look ahead to some of these round one games that we got going on. Now, we've got 16 today, 16 tomorrow, all right? But we don't have all the time in the world here. Not only that, but the two games that are most important, including Auburn's game today, are both, you know, both being Thursday games. We're just going to keep it to that, right? Because that's where everyone's mind is right now. And we're actually going to get started with things pretty hot and heavy here. At 11:15 a.m. on CBS, we have our first game of the full bracket. Number 9 Creighton taking on number 8 Louisville. Not only is this game interesting because it's got respected basketball programs that are closely seeded, but it's also a game where the winner will most likely take on the Auburn Tigers. So I wanted to get your thoughts on who you would rather win this game from an Auburn fan's perspective.
Well, it's an interesting game because Louisville essentially is playing a home game.
You know, that is interesting, that, yes, in Lexington.
Yeah. So, you know, the crowd, they're going to have the crowd. They're the higher seed. But I like Creighton in this game.
Me too. I like Creighton to win it.
Yeah, but I like Creighton to win this game.
But the question is, would you prefer Creighton win it?
I don't know that I would prefer either one of them.
Can we just get Alabama State again?
Yeah, let's just play Alabama State all the way to the, you know, to the semifinal. I think Auburn matches up well against both those programs. I don't think that they match up well against Auburn in speed and physicality on the court.
Right.
I don't think either one of them have played a physical defense the way Auburn plays.
Yeah, these were down years for both their conferences, the Big East and especially the ACC. Those are two very highly regarded basketball leagues, and they just haven't really looked the part compared to what we normally expect from them.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen either one of them play very much, but what I have seen is that they don't seem to have the same physical presence on the court, and they don't seem to have the same speed on the court. Auburn is capable of speeding up as fast as they want to go or slowing things down as slow as they want to go. I think that's the kind of thing that would be a game changer against either one of them.
Right.
But I see Creighton beating Louisville, and I see it being an Auburn-Creighton matchup.
Yeah, and something that I agree with you, and something that I see Auburn having to look out for is something you actually mentioned earlier today, and that is defensive rebounds. Auburn has kind of struggled with those recently, and they especially did against Tennessee. Well, Creighton specializes in defensive rebounds. They've got size, and they've got significantly more than both Auburn and Louisville throughout this season. Also, they've just got a balanced defense overall with the steals and blocks and all that. Also, they do well in assists. They've easily got both teams beat in that regard, so they play a lot of defensive team ball. That's a formula we've seen give Auburn a scare one too many times. So I think that's something that's going to make that game a bit more interesting when it does take place. But, yes, I do still expect Auburn to win when they do face off.
Yeah. We'll know here in about 2.5 hours.
yeah, we will.
And not to overlook the Auburn-Alabama State game. Alabama State played a great game against St. Francis to play their way in.
They did.
They looked good.
And it was thrilling. It's what March Madness is all about. Yeah. We've actually got that game coming up here.
150?
Yes, I believe so. At 11:40, though, we've got number 13 High Point and number 4 Purdue. Hey, listen, man, I love upsets as much as the next guy, but as I told you earlier, I'm not seeing a ton of them. I don't see one happening here. I got the Boilermakers.
I don't see High Point beating Purdue either. I mean, we played Purdue, midway during the season. They were a good ball team then. Yeah. They're still a good ball team.
They've been a March Madness foe for years now. They've kind of become a consistent contender.
Yeah, I think they physically are not going to match up well on the court against Purdue.
Yeah.
And I think Purdue's going to get out to an early lead, and it's just going to stay that way.
I agree with you. This is one that, just for the sake of having some fun, I'll put this out there. Number 3, Wisconsin, and number 14, Montana. That game getting underway at 12:30. I'll say Wisconsin does the opposite. They have a slow start, but they eventually pull away.
That's kind of their MO. I mean, if you watched them a couple of their games in the their conference tournament,
yeah,
they kept it close in the games that they won until, you know, midway through the second half, and then they pulled away.
Right.
It's stamina, and that's a physical thing. So I think they're going to just be out. They're just going to out physical Montana.
Right. Wisconsin, I'll tell you this, and we can talk more about our brackets later, but Wisconsin, I don't see them making it overly far in there. I definitely see guys like Michigan State making it much further. At 1 p.m., we've got our first 1 versus 16. It's SIU Edwardsville taking on the Houston Cougars. Houston, this is another team Auburn has history with, at least this year. And so Auburn, we should have all the better of an idea of how how the Cougars look. Do you think they'll be able to take on Edwardsville?
Oh, yeah. Houston.
You think they can muster it?
Yeah, Houston's number one seed for a reason.
Yeah.
Even though Auburn beat them early in the year, they were I think, number one when we went there and played them. That's when Auburn actually stepped into the national title scene, was after that game. The actual discussion that Auburn could potentially win a national title came after that game. Mm-hmm. Houston's, they've proven themselves. You know, they've had a fantastic season. They only have 4 losses.
Right.
One of those being to Auburn.
Yeah, so they've got only 4 losses, quality losses at that. They are similarly to Purdue, a team that's been floating around. It's not like they just came out of nowhere. And yeah, I mean, I think the Big 12 as a whole is going to be well represented in this bracket, and I think a lot of that's going to ride on Houston. However, with that said, I don't have them making the Final Four. At 150, this is what you just mentioned a moment ago, Bill, Alabama State, the 16 seed with their in-state rivals, quote-unquote, number one, Auburn. I don't know why I'm asking you this. Do you see an upset brewing?
No. I mean, not unless there's some kind of weird virus or flu going around that everybody's playing sick.
Right.
No, I just don't see it. Alabama State looked good in their playing game, but they do not match up well physically against Auburn.
If Auburn lost that game, next Thursday would make for some pretty spectacular radio.
It would be so much more disappointing than our loss to Yale last year.
Oh, you are correct, sir. Yes, I will tell you that, because not only with the stigma of being a 16 beating a 1, but also, yeah, with it being a matter of Auburn has all the more of a look now and all the more of a dream to win the national title. They're getting all the more looks to do it. With all the hype they built throughout the regular season, being the unanimous number one for several weeks, no, if you by any chance lose to Alabama State, that would be a gut punch.
Well, see, this is where I think, you know, people would look at Auburn and say, well, maybe they're looking past Alabama State. The way we performed in the SEC tournament,
you're not.
We are not going to be looking past Alabama State. I guarantee you the coaching staff is telling them this is one game at a time. Everybody's here for a reason. They got picked to be in these brackets for a reason.
Right.
So we're going to play with intensity and dedication, and I fully expect Auburn to come out with guns blazing.
No, Auburn favored by 31.5, and while we'll get to point predictions later, I'm pretty sure you and I both agree Auburn's probably going to cover that spread. All right, 215. We got a 12 and a 5. Now, there's a lot of stigma with 12s and 5s. McNeese taking on Clemson. Now, I already talked about the ACC kind of not being too impressive this year. And being a 5, you've got 6 losses, so you're good, but you're not terrific. Do you think McNeese has a chance?
McNeese has a chance. They have identical records, 27-6. Mm. To me, I think McNeese is underrated in the seeding. Clemson is about where they should be. But I think McNeese is going to – they're going to give them a game. It's going to be a tight game. I don't see this one being – a win on either direction by more than 8. Mm. But I see Clemson coming out with the win on this one.
All righty. And then, I see Clemson coming out in the win or with the win, and I see them actually making it pretty deep into the bracket. I think they're going to be one of those quote-unquote Cinderellas. You don't really look at a 5 and think, oh, my God, how are they here? But they're going to be significantly lower than a lot of the teams that they're sharing company with, I believe. At 305, this is another one that's getting a lot of upset looks. Number 11, VCU, very respectable basketball program, taking on number 6, BYU. I talked about the Big 12 being tough. The Cougars are proof of that. Do you think Virginia Commonwealth can get it done here?
I picked this one, VCU
really?
Over BYU. Yes, I think VCU – I think they're playing better in the second half of their season than they did in the first. I think they had 6 losses, and I think 3 of those came early. So here of late, they've been playing better basketball than they started off with.
Yeah.
BYU's just, to me, they're kind of flighty.
They're a little bit of a mixed bag, sure.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Texas and the Oklahoma was in the SEC. You know, you might get their A game one day, and then the next day it's just not there.
That was one I was really conflicted over, but I couldn't bring myself to go against the Cougs. And maybe that's just me being a coward. I don't know.
Well, I did pick VCU.
Okay, so we'll see how that turns out. There's going to be a lot of games to talk about come next Thursday, but maybe that's one we'll highlight that me and Will that's technically your name. Me and Bill are divided on. All right, 335. Number 9, Georgia. Number 8, Gonzaga. This is the first of 5 straight tip-offs that involve an SEC team. The Bulldogs versus the Bulldogs. Who do you got, man? One of these guys is a far bigger name in the basketball scene than the other.
Well, Auburn's played Georgia, so I know what they look like.
Right.
I've only seen a little bit of Gonzaga, but they're one of those perennial teams that's always in the bracket, always mm-hmm. very competitive. They're well coached. And they have a better record. I like Gonzaga in this game.
Gonzaga, you know, the West Coast Conference, due to Gonzaga being a lower seed, is one that I don't think has been as well represented. It kind of gave St. Mary's an opportunity to win the conference, and they still blew it. So Gonzaga, I think, has kind of psyched some people out because they won the West Coast Conference pretty quietly, with them having an imperfect season by their own standard. So I think, yeah, I think they can punch Georgia in the mouth here. I got Gonzaga making it into the round of 32 and probably a little bit further, if we're being honest. Gonzaga currently a 6.5-point favorite. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you as always. And we're just kind of going through the round of 64 right now, or at least the first half of it as we've gotten this Thursday slate. And right now we're at 5:50 p.m., 15-seeded Wofford, 2-seeded Tennessee. I know Tennessee can be kind of lower scoring, a bit inconsistent on their own, in their own right, but do you think the Terriers get it done?
No. Tennessee is much better basketball team than Wofford.
Yeah, this is, I mean, and mind you, Wofford is a 15-loss team. So this they probably only made it because they won their conference. They had to have. So this here's a prediction for you. This is probably going to be a top three most lopsided result, I think, of the first round.
Like 25 to 30 point difference?
Easily. That one's going to be ugly.
If the same Tennessee team that we played in the conference tournament shows up to play against Wofford,
Wofford may not even hit 40.
It's definitely going to be super lopsided.
Whoa. You know, I'm looking at this, though. Tennessee is not even favored. According to the official ESPN spread, they're not even favored by 20 points. That, if I'm the Vols, man, I'm taking offense to that. At 6:10, now this one I think is good. We got Arkansas and Kansas. That's a 10 taking on a 7. We got John Calipari. We got Bill Self. This is a pretty elite matchup. Kansas only favored by 5.5, but I got Arkansas with the upset.
All right, I have Kansas, and you and I talked a little bit about this before we went back on air with this segment. You know, Kansas, when they get – first off, they're almost always in the tournament. They're one of those perennial basketball teams that makes it to the tournament.
Right.
When they get to the tournament is when they tend to play their best basketball. Bill, and that's a product of their coaching, Bill Self.
That is true.
So, you know, I like the matchup. I think this is probably going to be one of the more entertaining games to watch.
I agree.
Just because you got two marquee coaches playing head to head with marquee programs. You know, Arkansas's been to a national championship basketball team back in the 90s before. Kentucky's been there more than once, especially lately. They've been very competitive in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Kansas won just a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they made the Final Four like maybe for the last 10, 12 years.
Ugh.
So, you know, they know how to – they've been there before. They know what to do. They know how to get deep in the tournament. I like Kansas in this game. I mean, it's just hard for me to go against a Bill Self-coached team.
All right. Well, that's definitely going to be one we'll revisit next week. I mentioned earlier that Texas A&M needs to look out because they are in the exact same position as Auburn was last year at 6:25. Number 4 Aggies taking on number 13 Yale. Same opponent, same seeding. Auburn suffered a pretty embarrassing fate last year. You think the Aggies do the same?
No, I don't think Yale's going to pull it off this time. I've got Texas A&M maybe not a comfortable win, but I think late in the game they're going to run away with it.
All right, and this is the last one that we will devote a lot of time to because we're kind of on a time crunch here. Number 11, Drake, taking on number 6, Missouri. Drake's gotten a lot of love because they are 30-3 on the year. Missouri only favored by 6.5. Do you think Missouri gets stunned?
It's possible, but I did pick Missouri in this game in my bracket.
Me too.
And this is another one that's going to be probably pretty entertaining to watch because Drake has players.
Yeah, I'd love for Drake to prove me wrong here. Personally, I think that would be awesome. All righty, just a few more here, so we'll just do some quick picks. At 8:25, number 10, Utah State, and number 7, UCLA. Who do you have, sir?
UCLA.
I agree. 8:45, 15-seeded Omaha, 2-seed St. John's.
I have St. John's.
Yeah, me too. They've gotten a lot of love in this bracket. At 9 p.m., 12-seeded UC San Diego, 5-seeded Michigan.
I've got Michigan.
Me too. UC San Diego, from what I hear, has been a great story this year, but I think the Wolverines got it. And then, last but not least, at 9:10 tonight, 14-seeded UNC Wilmington taking on 3-seeded Texas Tech. Tech has been a consistent appearer in the bracket. I think they've got this here.
I have Texas Tech, and I actually have them going pretty deep.
Oh, really? You got them going pretty deep in your bracket, huh?
I do.
Huh, I don't. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, we'll just kind of give a bit of a rundown of how we expect Auburn to do today against Alabama State. Obviously, we expect them to do well. And we may also look ahead to if they face Creighton, as Bill and I both expect that to be their next opponent. So we'll give score predictions on that coming up.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
Love art? You'll love the 29th annual Gulf Breeze Celebrates the Arts Festival, March 22nd and the 23rd at the Gulf Breeze Community Center. Enjoy over 100 fine artists, food vendors, live demonstrations, a silent auction, and more. Park and ride will be available from Gulf Breeze High School to Gulf Breeze Community Center Saturday from 9:30 till 4:30 and Sunday from 9:30 till 3:30. Don't miss the 29th annual Gulf Breeze Celebrates the Arts Festival, a vibrant celebration of art and community.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever. That's four lines on unlimited welcome for just $25 a line per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. You'll also get the new iPhone 16 Pro, four of them for the entire family, when you trade in up to four phones from our top brands. That's a new phone for everyone, only on the network you can count on. Verizon. Visit a store today. 20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply for phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards scoring courtside seats for your favorite team.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you can score courtside seats. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but courtside seats can be astronomical. Maybe if your team plays in a smaller market, you could swing it. Even still, it's unlikely. Maybe fourth row, which are still incredible seats that you'll enjoy greatly. Savings possible. Courtside, long shot.
Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Progressive cannot guarantee that someone really tall will not sit in front of you at the game, rendering your excellent seats just okay.
Local sports talk on the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Weekdays 9 to 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Already 10:56 here, so we'll just cut straight to the chase. We got a couple of score predictions here for you. Bill, Auburn, 150 this afternoon, taking on Alabama State. Obviously, we've got Auburn winning easily. What do you think the exact score will be, though?
88 to 45.
Oh, wow. I've got it being higher scoring than that. I got it being 103-64. So we've both got blowouts here. I think just playing a team that small, no offense to the Hornets, but obviously they're much smaller than Auburn. When you play a team that size, I think Auburn's just going to really overstep them. I think it's they'll give up a lot of points eventually, but Auburn will have just scored so many it doesn't matter. You had mentioned that Auburn's not going to overlook Alabama State, and I agree with you. But I think along that same line, Alabama State isn't going to necessarily overlook the Tigers, but after that thrilling win over St. Francis, oh my God, buzzer beater, we made it. They're just going to be all the more in the clouds when the Tigers punch them in the mouth. So that's why I've got Auburn scoring so many points and this game being so lopsided. And then I'll ask you this. You and I agree that Creighton probably going to beat Louisville today, and that means they would be Auburn's next opponent. I think you and I would both take Auburn over Creighton, but do you have a score prediction for that?
Well, that one's definitely going to be a closer game.
I agree.
I actually have Auburn scoring the same points, 88-78.
I got this one being lower scoring, actually. I've got Auburn winning 82-69. I think Creighton, you know, they catch Auburn, you know, when Auburn's feeling themselves, right? Yeah, Auburn's got it going on. And Creighton, they're no stranger to the bracket. They're an experienced team playing the Big East. Even on a down year, it's still a good conference. I think they give Auburn a bit of a scare, but Auburn pulls away, particularly in the second half. I just think this is going to be a matter of the Tigers and Blue Jays. It's going to be a battle of physicality, battle of depth, battle of how long, a battle of durability, so to speak, and or battle of endurance, I think is the word. Whatever, you get the idea. Bottom line is Auburn outlasts the Jays.
Yes.
And, man, you know, we can talk more about this next week, but you have your Final Four set, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to tell us who you think is winning because, you know, we'll talk about that later. But who is your Final Four currently? Our minds can change.
Auburn, Kansas, Arizona, Tennessee.
Yeah, you've got some heavy SEC representation in there. I've got Alabama, Clemson, some football history for you there, and Michigan State and Florida. So I've got some blue bloods. I've got some heavy SEC representation. I told you I had Clemson going pretty late as the 5 seed, got them being a somewhat Cinderella. But don't worry, Clemson, the clock will eventually strike midnight. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Next week we'll have a lot to talk about because the bracket will have easily advanced by then. And then we'll maybe get a bit of a deeper dive on maybe some revamped Final Fours. Who knows? We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.